on today's Compassion Radio.
We've said before he always called himself a closet academic, but he would have needed a big closet for his academic personality.
What a great legacy.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
Tracking the triumph of God in every nation on earth. Well, it's just one of those days here at Compassion Radio, and it's a good thing, believe me. I don't have the time to get into any detail here at the top of the show, simply because we have too much show to share for our allotted 26 minutes. Let's just say we've got a special conversation for you today. Bram Floria and Cher Nelson recently joined Roger Marsh on a live radio show. And the fine folks at K-Bright in Southern California were kind enough to let us share the contents. So with that, here's Roger.
Legacy moment today here on The Bottom Line Show. Roger Marsh joined in studio by two longtime friends, two dear friends. I mean, this is personal for me, but also, of course, for Crawford Broadcasting. Cher Nelson is in studio with us today from Compassion Radio. Cher, it's good to have you in the studio.
Thank you. It's fun to be here with you.
Is this our first live time back and forth? I know we've done something. It was years ago. Mm-hmm. Maybe, yeah, that's true. But it's been a while. So, and we've been in contact more than we really wanted to be. I mean, not that we don't like each other, but you know, that didn't come out right.
For reasons
that we didn't want to be. And then Bram Floria, president of Compassion Radio and becoming a friend and closer and closer all the time. Again, for reasons that we weren't planning on, but I'm glad that we've had this
time. There will be no other reason to be friends.
That's right. That's right.
We are happy to be back here and seeing you through this tangle of springs and microphones.
The studio is kind of interesting that way. It is kind of tough if you like to make eye contact. Cher and I can see each other great. But Bram and me, I don't know. Maybe that's a metaphor.
As long as you and I find a way to have a meeting of minds in the years to come.
That's right. We'll do that, too.
That's why we went back to stand bikes in our studio.
Really?
Because Norm and I couldn't see each other.
Right. And you want to be able to see each other.
Have to.
When you're doing radio. Okay. Compassion Radio have been anchoring our morning broadcasting for years and years. And really, we've heard from so many people who say that's the best part of Full Power K-Bright is the first thing you hear is Compassion Radio.
Well, isn't that lovely?
It's nice to be part of that legacy, isn't it?
I mean, it's wonderful.
And yet, with a ministry program, and I dare I say, I mean, there are other ministry programs that you hear here that we refer to as heritage, legacy. Mm-hmm. I mean, with Dr. J. Vernon McGee has been with the Lord for many years, Adrian Rogers, and yet that teaching is still so fresh. But Compassion Radio is on the front lines, new and happening all the time, and that takes a lot of work.
But you know what? It really says something about KBRT, because when we first went to the Compassion Radio concept, we lost over half of our stations because they wanted just the nice devotional musical portion in the morning. They didn't think that talking about needy people and starving children and desperate situations were good for the morning.
Right. It's a good partnership, and I think it does really set the tone for the day, too. So you can take the Bible teaching and everything as part of the whole deal. And Bram, you're smiling because I know this is a big chance for you now. I mean, this is an opportunity here for you as you stepped into the leadership role here because of the passing of Norm Nelson.
Yeah, I'm thinking about standing in shoes that I don't belong in some ways. Mm-hmm. Why? Because Norm's history, his teaching, his legacy is decades long. You know, he started into the ministry as a really young guy. In the middle of college, he was already doing missional work. Mm-hmm. And so by the time he got back to working with his father in his 30s, you know, that was a long stretch before we lost him just this past month. So he's got a lot to teach us even now as we go back and listen to the programs. You know, he's not quite as evergreen as J. Vernon McGee because he's not teaching exegetically through the scriptures all year long. But there are lots of themes that are going to be recurring generation after generation as we deal with crises in every generation. So there are a number of times I think we'll bring back his programs because they have such currency even now. Mm-hmm. And you'll be hearing more of those on the program in the mornings. But of course, because it is a program of currency, we've got to be in the places and in the times that we find ourselves in. We find ourselves right now at a really seminal time for the church around the world. I mean, there are big questions being asked now about how to live and how to bring the gospel forward that have not been asked ever before, mm-hmm. and ways of doing it that have never been used or attempted to be used before.
Yeah.
So these are challenging and opportunity-laden times, and I'm thrilled for that, but I'm also daunted by the prospects of how much work it's going to take to get out there, get those stories. And thrilled at the same time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's a huge challenge. It's a big responsibility. Now, we're talking about the big shoes to fill and share. I'm mm-hmm. going to turn to you. Part of the reason we've been seeing so much of each other recently is the passing of Norm. Mm-hmm. And that was for those who are hearing this for the first time and realizing that they may not have had a chance to hear, we just had a memorial service last weekend.
We did.
It was a very lovely time of remembering Norm and so many different friends coming together, the intersection of faith and family, as mm-hmm. it were. Talk about what those final months were like and what the last couple months for you have been like.
Wow, that's hard to talk about. For those of you who don't know Norm's situation at the end, he had right frontotemporal dementia with psychosis. And for a long time, because he was so bright and so he could carry on almost by autopilot,
right.
We didn't really understand what was going on with him. He had a lot of physical symptoms, a lot of things going wrong, but symptoms that nobody could figure out. It wasn't until his mind really started to deteriorate that we finally got a diagnosis. And at that point, we were not able to help him very much because all the antipsychotic drugs are very hard on the kidneys, and he was already in stage 3 kidney failure.
Oh.
So as soon as the drugs would start to take effect to mellow him out a little bit, mm-hmm. then the kidneys would drop. So it was very difficult. Those listeners who followed us know that he has had a heart attack. He has had a stroke. He was diabetic. And his general practitioner believed that he had picked up something in the world somewhere that was messing with all of his systems. They never could figure out what it was, but he was convinced that there was some underlying cause.
Well, and with all the travel he did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whether that was also responsible for the dementia and the psychosis, we haven't found a link to that, but it definitely contributed to it. But with all of those things, I had thought I would, you know, end up caring for him long term, either because of a failing heart or through dialysis or sure. the diabetes or whatever. Never occurred to me that it would be that incredible mind of his that would turn on him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
By the time we really knew what was going on, it was already too late to be able to really say all the things we wanted to say. And communication was just definitely limited. We were limited to what he could talk about. And unfortunately, more and more in those last 7 months, he lived in a different world, which was just fraught with disasters and horrors. Yeah. And so many times he would not want me to be around him because he was afraid I would get sucked into this vortex of terror that he was in. Mm-hmm. And I would have to stand outside the hospital room until that passed and then be able to go back into him. But it was, you know, 20 hours a day at the hospital just to be able to soothe and in some way give him comfort. And, you know, things that seem funny in retrospect, but he would have telephone calls. Not real ones, but imagine telephone calls where he would hold his hand up to his ear and pretend that he was holding a receiver. And he'd be talking to somebody like Lee Majors, the $6 million man. Then he would say as I walked into the room, "Oh, well, here she is now, Lee. You can talk to her." And he would hand me the phone and I was supposed to carry on a conversation. Or he would be in a conversation with someone in his head and he would be relaying to me the questions that they were asking. And it was a very confusing, very exhausting time. But the hardest part was that this awful disease played with his mind in such a way to make him doubt that God still loved him.
Oh.
And he felt that he was failing the people that he was called to serve and that he must have done something wrong to be sick like this. Mm-hmm. And we knew the minute he was gone that all those doubts were mm-hmm. lifted. But mm-hmm. it was so painful to see this man who had stood at so many bedsides
giving
comfort and reassurance and praying with people, always helping them face the end, that here was the same man in such doubt that God was going to receive him.
Mm.
And it was very painful, very exhausting. I wouldn't have spent 1 minute any other way than mm-hmm. being with him.
Of course.
But he just disappeared from us little by little. In the last few days, we had very limited conversation with him. And the last day, we talked to him, but there was no real response. And Bram made me go home for a few hours to sleep. And I whispered in his ear as I left, "Now, don't you go without me." But we had been telling him that he was free to go and praying that God would take him. But I walked back in, got settled, and I was not there for more than 20 minutes, just talking to him and talking to Bram about his night. And he suddenly took a deep breath and shuddered and had a very painful reaction. We're guessing that maybe he had a last little heart attack. Mm-hmm. But it didn't last for more than a few seconds. And I took a hold of his wrist right away to feel his pulse as he was doing that. And it stopped. Mm. And he relaxed, but he was still breathing. Mm-hmm. But we couldn't find any pulse. And the breathing got less and less, and then it was just gone.
Wow.
So his ending was peaceful. Mm-hmm. And just knowing that in that moment, wherever it is, however it works, he was in the presence of the Lord.
Yes.
Amen, amen. You're listening to a segment from a live radio broadcast from KBRT Radio in Southern California. Our own Cher Nelson and Bram Floria spending time with good friend Roger Marsh on his Bottom Line program here on Compassion Radio. And we will get right back to this conversation in just a moment. I do want to ask you to stick around as we talk about a tremendous opportunity that we have to share Norm's ministry library with seminaries worldwide in our Legacy of Learning Library Project. And we'll touch on that briefly in just a few minutes. In the meantime, you can reach us anytime and from anywhere at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Or, of course, find us online at CompassionRadio.com. Let's get back to this special interview with Roger Marsh, Bram Floria, and Cher Nelson.
For 2 or 3 days, I really was not that tearful. I was so overjoyed that it was over for him.
Mm-hmm, yes.
And that all his doubts were answered, that, you know, all the stuff we carry through this life of disappointment and guilt and whatever was all gone. But that season passed quite quickly.
I'll bet.
But if everything that we've had, the graveside service early, because we wanted to lay him to rest, but then we had to wait for a while in order to be able to get all the family here and and people that we wanted to be a part of the service. That time was busy with details, and that helped. But Sunday after it was all over, it's like that was the final goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
It's just sad now. I don't feel any despair. Mm-hmm. I don't feel any sense of hopelessness or any of that. Mm-hmm. It's just, he was so much a part of my life.
Mm-hmm. He meant something to so many different people. And it was such an honor to be part of the memorial service and also the graveside for me, too, to watch this, you know, professionally, but also personally, to see the humanity of it. If you're just tuning into this special edition of The Bottom Line, I'm Roger Marsh. Cher Nelson with me here today from Compassion Radio, remembering her husband, Norm, and the legacy that continues. And also Bram Floria, the president of Compassion Radio, who is stepping into the host and leadership role here in Norm's absence. They're very, very big shoes to fill.
And stepping in beautifully,
yes,
I might add.
Doing a wonderful job. We're talking about this legacy of faith, moving forward, staying current, but also hope that you've been encouraged in some way if you've had to deal with a situation like Cher did and watching a loved one with a very, very aggressive form of dementia.
Yeah. You and I sat down just a day after Norm had passed. And I've had a distance of a month and away from California.
I was amazed, by the way, how well you, you were just, the composure that you showed there, I thought, man, if I were in your shoes, I wouldn't have been able to put two sentences together. But I mean, the fact that we did an hour on the radio that day was just remarkable. So I just wanted to...
We were all listening and being amazed too, but praying for him all the way through.
Yeah. Yes, but anyway, you were sighted, mean to interrupt.
No, that's fine. Plenty of emotions have come up since then for me as well. But from the distance I've had in the past month to look back at this, I'm realizing how much of the suffering that Cher and Norm have experienced and have expressed empathy and compassion for in the past 30 years welled up within him during those last few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is something akin to PTSD, that the mind that Norm had was taxed, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
His body was giving up on him, and his passion was still there. He was very passionate about the conversations he had, even on the last couple of weeks in the bed. He was still very passionately engaging with people, whether they were real or not.
Mm-hmm.
But as Cher was saying, when the mind turned on him, you know, our bodies will turn on us when we get ill and when we die. And that is the soft beginnings of new things. We know that theologically. We don't get to experience the transition with people because we're not in it with them. So we have to have the faith and the hope that those things are truly real, not just abstracts, but our physical and emotional and spiritual realities that we will actually experience and go through onto something else. That's where our hope lies. Mm-hmm. Now, when people go through PTSD, they are assaulted by the ghosts of the past. And I can't help but think that there are many things that Norm and Cher experienced on the field that came back to crowd the thoughts in those last hours.
Good point.
And at the same time, a holy imagination, which lifted all kinds of circumstances that should not have been transcendable, but the two of them managed to step through things that other people wouldn't have survived or have gotten out of. God brought them through a zillion things on the way to bringing compassionate outreach and help to Christians around the world. And you have to have a healthy imagination to imagine something possible. So I don't worry so much about Norm's psychosis at the end, because it was his imagination at high work.
Right.
And it may have been a consequence of the hard work he'd done all his life and the chemical breakdown in his body. But it still shows a spark of imagination, which had always been a strength and will always be a strength for the believer, to imagine something that God has for us that we can't see yet. That is the assurance. That this is the faith and action stuff we talk about in Romans. So in Hebrews, this is the stuff of real ministry for me, is being able to watch how Cher and Norm walked through and suffered through the end of their life together.
Mm-hmm.
And how Norm suffered through the end of his physical life. You know, they've entered into the sufferings they've described over the many, many years. So we're not afraid to talk about that. We have no fear about opening up our lives and saying, this is what really happened in our family.
Yes.
We're not trying to hide anything. We've been trying to bring the reality of suffering to you so you can enter into that as Christ would and not be afraid or ashamed of that. That's been our objective as a ministry. So we're going to start with our own family going forward now.
Mm-hmm. It's an excellent example.
One of the things that only things that comforted him was playing hymns. And I found every CD I could find that had hymns on it, and very often when he was not responsive to us at all, a song would come on that he particularly loved, and you could see the tears trickle from his eyes.
I wondered about that in the memorial service when we had that hymn sing, and we had somebody, which was great. I mean, I was all for it, and I know Gene Roberson was breaking in the new organ at our church and really having a great time with
this.
That's got a lot of volume on that for sure. But the fact that we were just there as the body of Christ, singing, enjoying, letting it wash over us, that was a big part of Norm's legacy.
Right, and those songs that we chose for the memorial were the ones that touched him so much during those last days. So then we knew that he was hearing us pray for him, hearing us encourage him and talk to him. But he was so concerned about this world not knowing the hymns. Now, he was all for gospel music, listened to contemporary Christian music, but nothing touched him like the hymns, and it was because of the theology in them. And he was such a student of theology.
Wasn't he? I mean, was he not working on a doctorate at the time? The second one. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I mean, I remember seeing that and I thought, okay, wait a minute. How old is Norm? What, does he need another doctor?
No.
This has got to be, no, this is his passion, though. Dude, incredible legacy.
We've said before, he always called himself a closet academic, but he would have needed a big closet for his academic personality.
What a great legacy. Compassion Radio. Cher Nelson is with me in studio today here on The Bottom Line. I'm Roger Marsh. If you enjoy Compassion Radio, obviously that ministry is continuing, though we are, today we're remembering Norm. We're mourning his passing. Of course, we're grieving, as we should, because he was a giant in the broadcasting world and, of course, to family members, too. Bram Floria is sitting across the table from me, and he is the president now of Compassion Radio. He's also the speaker on the program and has a rather daunting task to continue a ministry that is a very, very challenging ministry, and you're to be credited with that. But we're talking about the future now, what the future holds of Compassion Radio. I appreciated, Cher, how you shared with us what it was like for you and for the family and for Norm as his body turned against him. I know there are people who hear that story and find some kind of comfort in saying, it's nice to know I'm not the only one. Oh, I didn't know what was happening. I mean, for the whole family to be in those moments.
You know, Norm had a favorite quotation, and it was that God prepares us slowly to face us suddenly. And part of my preparation was going through my dad's cancer death, my mother's just elderly death, but lingering for some time before she passed, going through his father's death with him and his mother's death with him. I was, for some reason, the only one at their bedside when all four of them passed.
Wow.
But spent that time doing different things for each one because different things ministered to them in different ways.
Sure.
So I felt like I knew the ropes And I didn't. It wasn't this huge learning curve at the same time that it is for so many people, learning all, what all these medical terms mean and what it is that, what does that mean? I had a background in all of that, and I felt like God had prepared me slowly to face me suddenly with Norm's situation. Mm-hmm. Was not the one I expected.
No.
It wasn't. Certainly not the one I would have hoped for for the end of his life. But it allowed me to give my full concentration to him and to know how to deal with him, because I understood what was happening as each new thing came about. And it took the great unknown out of it, the great fear of it. And I hope that the Lord will use me in some way. I am a hospital chaplain, and I have worked with trauma intervention. So I have a background in that, too. But I really hope the Lord will use me to somehow be able to help other people be prepared for whatever it is that the Lord brings to them suddenly.
Yeah.
As Cher goes through her own grieving process, and she will be the first to identify all the stages of it. She's studied all these things. So we're trying to remind her not to keep analyzing herself along the way. And just to let her be. You know, there are all kinds of people that have been the fixers and the helpers and the enablers and the whatever ministers in their families all their lives, and they're suddenly left on the other side saying, I'm the one. Suddenly I'm the person that's experiencing all these things, and they need to be able to unwind and unspring and collapse if necessary. And we know that there'll be many more episodes for Cher where she's just got to let it out. You know, there's nothing wrong with this. And making space for her to do so. But I know her heart and passion is also to turn that right back around and get back on the horse, so to speak, ministering to others. And so we're trying to find the best way for her to apply all of this knowledge and skills that she has. Things that were unique to her that completed Norm are still unique and are still powerful. So the ministry still is counting on that kind of gentle wisdom and compassion that she alone embodied. Find new ways to apply that. You know, and there might be other ministries that you might get more engaged with, and more writing, and more corresponding, and more personal than we've been able to do as a ministry. While I focus on new writing and new investigation and new stories, I'm not losing her, and I refuse to at this point. I'm not relegating her to her own closet.
She
has got to step back up and be involved in this, or this ministry has lost its heart.
Amen.
And I don't want to see that happen.
Right. I'm talking with Bram Floria, who's the president of Compassion Radio, and Cher Nelson. What is your new title? I mean, Bram's talking about how you're still, as yet to be determined, but you're just Cher. I mean, that's just, you have those unique gifts and talents.
Do you need more?
I had a pretty vague title in the beginning. It was Vice President of Creative Projects.
Yeah, there you go.
Which meant if Norm wanted it done, I had to do it.
Well, that about wraps up part one of this tender conversation between Bram Floria, Cher Nelson, and Roger Marsh on his outstanding program called The Bottom Line that airs on K-Bright Radio in Southern California, which is, in essence, the flagship station for this Compassion Radio ministry. There's more to this conversation, so do not miss tomorrow's program. Now, before we leave you today, I want to give you the opportunity to honor Norm Nelson with this month's Legacy of Learning Library Project. Here's how it works. The best of Norm's theological library will be donated to these crucially important institutions as a living legacy. Just think of it. Words that have moved Norm and shaped this ministry and thousands of partners over the years will now shape the ministry of future generations of pastors. Could there be a better legacy to leave behind? This spring, archivists from two of the best theological bookstores in Southern California are helping us inventory the titles and prepare them for international shipment. We'll coordinate with these foreign seminaries to select the titles their students need most and begin sending them this tremendous inheritance. It'll be a multi-year process, but we're committed to getting as many of these titles as possible onto foreign seminary shelves this year. So this month, we're asking you to help us send the next generation of pastors and evangelists in the world's toughest places exactly what they need: quality commentaries and study materials. It will begin with Norm's personal collection. Each book will include a dedication placard commemorating Norm, his life, and your gift as a Compassion Radio partner. Your gift of any size this month is needed and important. Please give as generously as you can to keep this ministry on the air as your radio voice for global mission.
For your gift of $25 or more this month, we'd love to send you a thank you gift. Now, we're having to do something we've never done before, and that is to say, we're not exactly sure what that gift will be. We are working on several different projects, either about or by Norm Nelson, and we're trying to make it a memorable and meaningful representation of his ministry. We simply don't know yet which one will be completed in time to send you. Will you trust us with this? As you probably all know personally, deaths in the family throw everyone off kilter for a bit. Cher has just finished all the planning of the memorial service and the end-of-life details so that she can devote herself to this project. Please continue to correspond with us. It is important to us to hear from you. Please call our office at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address, by the way, Compassion Radio, Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Online, we're at CompassionRadio.com. And that phone number once more, 1-800-868-2478. I'm Jim Governale. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and we'll see you again next time with more Compassion Radio.